This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A baby needs an average of 6 to 12 diapers daily, and one in three mothers in the U.S. doesn't have an adequate supply. What's causing this gap, and does a lack of access to diapers affect health outcomes? Diaper need is one of the most burdensome for low-income families. The monthly cost of diapers is about $120 per child. No federal program provides assistance for the diaper need. Diapers are essential for health care items for many families. What can be done to lessen the burden? We're talking about diaper needs here in our community and across the nation, and lots of ways for you to join our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org. Tweet at us at tprsource. We're joined this hour with Jorge Medina. He is the CEO of the Texas Diaper Bank. Jorge, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David.
Susan Van Ness is with us, the Chief of Programs for the National Diaper Bank Network. Susan, hi.
Hi, David. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Jessica Vansbon is with us. She is the Hasbon is the nurse consultant for the Association of Women's Health Obstetric and Neonatal Nurses. And Jessica, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be a part of this conversation.
And it's great to have all of you here. So we're going to be talking about diapers and the need for diapers and also other medical needs that people have. These are real functions that bodies do, and we have to provide for them, or else there are negative health outcomes. So we have to get real in talking about stuff and having the conversation. Sometimes that's the benefit of having the conversation. We're talking about stuff. We can talk about it on the radio. You can talk about it at home or with your friends as well. So Jorge Medina, talk about the Texas Diaper Bank. How long have y'all been around, and what services do y'all provide?
So the Texas Diaper Bank actually started up as another organization back in 1997. We were the Hispanic Religious Partnership for Community Health. And we started up as a collaboration of 10 United Methodist churches who were trying to address basic needs in the poorest communities here in San Antonio, Texas. Along with those needs, we were providing food, clothing, assistance with CPS utilities. But there was this one basic need that families kept coming to us and saying, can you help me with diapers? And we had never really thought about diapers and how it impacts a family. And so we wanted to address this issue, but didn't want to, you know, create a new program. So what we did is that we first started referring people or families that were in need of diapers to other agencies that sort of listed this as a service. And what happened is that one day we had this mom that came in with a newborn baby, and the baby was 2 months old. And, you know, she came and she asked us that she needed diapers for her baby. And so we gave her a bus pass, and she was on her way to a clinic on the east side. She arrived to that clinic, and it was shocking to us that what the clinic provided her was just two diapers. And that was it. So this mom got back on the bus, came back to our organization and said, do you know how many diapers I got? I got two diapers. You need to be able to help families better. And so for me, I took that very personally and I said, we got to do something. We have to address this need. And diapers are very, very expensive. And so we knew we wanted to do something about it. So we researched diaper need and found out that there was this movement that was happening across America. There was these little diaper banks popping up across America. Now, I had heard about food banks, and I'm sure a lot of people had heard about food banks, but never diaper banks. And then once I, you know, looked into them, I thought, wow, this is fantastic. Here are these banks that are actually addressing this one need that no one else is addressing, because we don't think about diapers and how important they are to a family. And so therefore, we applied for a grant through Methodist Healthcare Ministries, and they were just amazing. They provided us with a grant, and we established the diaper bank as a program first. We were going to serve 500 children that first year, and we ended up serving 1,500 children. Fast forward now, where we're serving 57,000 children. It's been an amazing journey.
Susan Van Ness, can you talk about, from the view of the National Diaper Bank Network, how not having an adequate supply of diapers, what does that mean for a young mother who, why this becomes such an important issue?
Sure. So you can imagine, I think we like to talk about diaper need as a lack of a sufficient supply of diapers. And I love Jorge's story because it's easy to understand. You know, anybody can understand babies need diapers. But sometimes even our efforts to help one or two diapers isn't going to help. A baby needs 6 to 10 diapers every single day. And so that's where the cost can come in. It's an adequate supply of diapers. And for a poor or low-income family that's struggling financially and really trying to balance the budget or stretch every dollar, it's a never-ending battle. So they're really sort of trying to make sure that they constantly have a supply of diapers to get through each day. And when you're trying to get through each day, you're not really living in a way that is going to help you get ahead and tackle some bigger problems that poverty or finances may be throwing at you. You're just surviving if you're struggling day to day.
But also, I understand in the struggle, like if you don't have an adequate supply of diapers, if you want to send your child to some form of child care, daycare,
right.
They want you to have X number of diapers, a lot of them, like a backpack full of them or something. And if you don't have that, then you can't access that service. And
that's
if you can't access that service,
work.
Then you can't work.
That's absolutely right. And so what we find is that if a family doesn't have an adequate supply of diapers, they need to get to work. So they've got those 10 diapers that they need to get through work tomorrow. Then, you know, the weekend, the next day, it comes to the weekend, they need to stretch those diapers that they have until they can buy more. And you have to buy a whole pack of, you know, 40 diapers at a time. You have to get out to the big box store to get the best price available because you don't want to spend too much money, but you have to buy a whole pack at a time. If you have $5, that's not enough. So families might stretch their diapers on the weekends and keep a baby in a wet diaper or a dirty diaper really longer than is a good idea. We know that parents sometimes will stuff a diaper with a poor substitute like a paper towel or newspapers, or even sometimes we'll try to reuse diapers. And all of these can have negative health effects on a child. Babies need clean and dry diapers in order to thrive. And if they don't have them, then there are going to be negative consequences.
And we're going to talk more about those negative health consequences in just a moment. We're going to take a break. Our phone line is open. The number is 210-614-8980. Have you had contact with the Texas Diaper Bank? What was that experience like? Or have you been without someone helping you with this need? What happened? What need did you have? Call us and tell us your story, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about diaper need here in our community. And unless you have a small baby in your life, you may not have given a lot of thought to diaper need. But if you do have a small baby in your life, then not thinking about diapers is a luxury you don't have. A lot of families can't afford the diapers that they need. This creates this incredible burden for them, but there are folks who are trying to help them with that. We're learning that story today. If you want to tell us your experiences, we want to hear them. The number is 210-614-8980. Jessica Hasboon is a nurse consultant with the Association of Women's Health Obstetric and Neonatal Nurses. And Jessica, can you talk about why this is such an important medical need.
Yes, of course. So actually, before I became a labor and delivery nurse, I was a pediatric nurse, and I had a few patients who had come in for really bad diaper rash that actually got really infected and needed IV medication. And the babies were maybe just a few months old. But it's not just the skin breakdown and infection that affects the baby for that short amount of time. It actually affects their mental health as well as the parents. I actually have a 6-week-old baby. And you were literally just talking about how if you do have a new baby, how the thought of diapers is constantly on your mind. And it's completely true. And in fact, yesterday I was talking about how I go to change her diaper. And of course, as I'm changing her diaper, if you're a parent, you know, there's always that accident where they go and they have a huge poop in that brand new diaper that you just put on them. So you go to change that one. And then as you're changing that one and you put the new diaper on, they go and they pee into the next diaper. And while Susan had mentioned, you know, well, for someone who has diapers, it's just not a thought. You just go ahead and you change it and you move on with your day. For someone who is a new parent who is going through all this postpartum stress as it is, that can be very, very overwhelming. And even leaving on a diaper on this delicate little skin for maybe an extra hour or two until you can find an extra diaper can already cause a rash or a skin breakdown for that baby. And fighting that skin breakdown is so difficult. And it's pretty much just, that's what they're doing. They're just chasing it and trying their best way to keep it dry. And so those are the physical impacts that it has on a baby. As a labor and delivery nurse, we get a lot of families just being stressed out during their labor about how they're going to provide for their newborn baby. And even postpartum, you see their need by asking for extra packs of diapers before you know that there's any way that they could have gone through the pack that you already provided, or just blatantly telling you, you know, I'm having a really hard time trying to figure out how I'm going to provide basic needs for my baby. And so that is actually why it's even why we as nurses are involved in this and why we can see firsthand. We're often the first ones that they confide in. And so because of that, we have jumped on to try and really help our communities. And a lot of nurses nationwide throughout the entire country are working so hard to just provide those things for them.
Jessica, thank you for that. And I'm going to go to our phone line. The number is 210-614-8980 with Hoda. Hoda, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I had a question about the environmental effects of disposable diapers. Have you guys looked into using the reusable ones, the cloth diapers, and maybe training parents to use those instead, and how that would affect the number of diapers you need? That's it.
All right. Thank you for the call, Hoda. I'm going to go to Susan Van Ness, the Chief of Programs for the National Diaper Bank Network. What about those thoughts?
I love cloth diapers. I was a mom that experienced diaper need herself, and I used cloth on my daughter for a little while. So absolutely, cloth diapers are a part of the solution. They're not for every family, as you can imagine, but many diaper banks provide cloth diapers, either running a cloth diaper program on their own or working with a cloth program. And if anyone is wondering about cloth programs in their community, they can reach out to the National Diaper Bank Network at info@diaperbanknetwork.org. And we can connect you. And if you're kind of wondering about how cloth might fit in with your community in terms of environmental needs, some regions have to think about water consumption for laundry and that sort of thing. But if you ask some daycare providers in your neighborhood how many infants and toddlers are in cloth diapers, that's going to give you a good indicator if the cloth community is there to support working moms in that community.
Jorge Medina, with the you're the CEO of the Texas Diaper Bank. So do you? It's not just diapers that moms need. I mean, ointments, special wipes, and things. Those need to be made available too. Is that part of what you provide?
Absolutely. So we wanted to address the complete need. So it was going beyond the diapers and making sure that families also had those important wipes to cleanse the baby's bottom and keep it clean. And also adding to that, we wanted to provide them with petroleum jelly and also with diaper rash cream to make sure that we prevent any development of any diaper rash or any other skin breaks.
And we heard about earlier going to the big box store. It's I guess you probably pay attention when you go to the store, looking at prices, and it's sort of kind of crazy how they vary. If you go to the corner bodega, they're going to be maybe like 30% to 40% more than if I were at a big box store per diaper. I mean, it varies quite a bit, right?
Absolutely, and it varies from retailer to retailer. The diapers are repackaged in different boxes and by different numbers. So, for example, sometimes you may think that they're more affordable if you go to the other retailer. It's just that the quantity that they have may be less. But when you actually do the math, you're still paying the same amount for the diaper.
So, how do people access your services?
So we provide services to families that are low income and meet that 150% of the federal poverty threshold. And people can come to our organization directly to our offices and receive that emergency assistance, and they can get two packages of diapers and a package of wipes per child once a month. But we also partner with over 67 agencies throughout 13 counties in South Texas to provide diapers and make diapers accessible. So, for example, we partner with the Children's Shelter. As you all know, there's children there that need diapers. We partner with agencies such as Haven for Hope and SAM Ministries that provide shelter services and temporary housing for families that are displaced and have children. So we make those diapers available to them so that families will have that basic need met.
Back to the phones, 210-614-8980 with Melanie. Melanie, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I just had a comment that I appreciate hearing that this diaper bank exists. When I had my oldest daughter when I was still in high school, and so we were in a program where you would bring your child to school, and they would keep the child in daycare while we finished high school. And a lot of girls ended up dropping out because they couldn't meet the requirement they actually required a diaper an hour. So if we were at school for 6 hours, that was six of our diapers a day to attend school. And otherwise you couldn't bring your child. And so, I'm just really glad to hear that.
So you saw how this, what could be a minor need, a lot of people would think, well, whoa, a diaper an hour, no big deal. But that became a barrier for these young women to able to continue their education.
Correct. Yeah.
Melanie, thank you so much for calling in and bringing that to our attention. So Susan Van Ness with the National Diaper Bank Network, have you heard this type of story before?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the points I would like to make about diaper banks, so Jorge was talking about how the Texas Diaper Bank partners with organizations and agencies in the community. And by providing diapers through those agencies, the Texas Diaper Bank and other diaper banks are supporting their mission. So, we talk about the diaper gap, and that's really the first. We want to meet that need so that kids can get the nutrition, goals met. So if it's supporting a program where the family's bringing home groceries and diapers, that's how the Texas Diaper Bank is working with other organizations. Poverty is complicated, and by working together, we help families get a little bit farther along.
Jessica Hasboon, you mentioned earlier that a child, an infant that rarely has a clean diaper suffers psychological impact of that. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. For example, I was actually a product. I grew up in a low-income family, and I was 7 years old when my mother and father got divorced, and she was left with infants at the time. They're twins. And even being 7 years old, you can feel the stress that occurs not only from the parents but throughout the family. these families, like Susan was talking about, there's more than just not being able to afford diapers. It's poverty altogether. It's low income. It's just trying to provide off of, you know, try to provide those basic necessities and make everything stretch. For an infant, having a parent who's always stressed out about that kind of thing completely alters their brain development. Just for any little thing, if you have a child who's screaming, crying, or an infant who's screaming, crying, and you're stressed out and you're crying, that stress passes off onto them, and it causes this stressful environment for them. It makes, you know, their whole psychological, their whole mental development, their whole social, emotional, everything. It really does hinder their development in general. And not only just for the infants, but all, for the entire family that's involved in that family structure. So for siblings, for the babies, for the parents, for anyone who's watching this baby, diaper need can really impact everyone. But when we are talking about the babies, yes, it does impact their mental development as well, and all of their milestones. So if you've ever, you know, seen a child who's been brought up in poverty, they can be super stressed out. I apologize. I have my daughter with me,
wonderful.
They can be very, very stressed out, and it can really impact their growth in many ways.
Jorge Medina with the Texas Diaper Bank here locally. How much of the need do you think you're able to satisfy? I mean, how much more out there needs to be done?
We have barely touched the tip of the iceberg because the need is tremendous here in San Antonio when you think about the poverty levels that we have here in our community. And so we definitely need to do more. We want to dig deeper. We want to provide not just, you know, serve more families, but also provide them with more resources.
And so we do want to get to talk more about, like, I'm going to ask you this. When you go to buy the diapers at the store, are they taxed? Is there sales tax on diapers?
Yes, they are. Yes. And here in Texas, we charge sales tax for not only diapers, but the incontinence supplies, which are the adult diapers. And then feminine hygiene products are also taxed. So that is one of the things that we ourselves want to change here in Texas and have diapers be non-taxable.
So we're putting 10% already on top of the price for all of these items.
So you can imagine someone who can already afford diapers, and then they're being taxed on top of that. So that makes them more difficult to access.
And then there's also the messaging that this is a luxury item.
Absolutely. And it's not a luxury item. It's a basic need. Everyone who has children needs diapers.
Has there been an effort in the legislature to address this?
Yes, there has been a bill that has been presented, and it hasn't passed. This year it was presented again. It didn't go through. So we're hoping that, you know, the next go around, we will make some progress.
We should bring some crying babies to the floor of the Texas House and get something done about this. We're going to take a break. I want to talk more. You mentioned the feminine hygiene products, and those are taxed as well. That's being treated as if it were a luxury item, but that is a necessity, and there is a need all throughout our society, globally and locally, on trying to make these available to women who struggle. And also adults who need diapers as well, adults who are in their golden years, but also adults who are dealing with lifelong mental issues, physical issues. So call in. We want to hear your stories. Let's get some momentum going. 210-614-8980. The source continues.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health. The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need. Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When we talk about trying to find that escape velocity to get out of the gravitational well of poverty, there's all sorts of stuff that's dragging you down. And one of them could be the cost of diapers. If you're trying to achieve some education, you have a young one in your life and you have to find those diapers, that can be a problem. A diaper need is real. It is pervasive all throughout our community. And figuring out a way that we can provide diapers to those who need them can be a lifesaver to so many. And the children, the babies, they didn't ask for this. They're just babies. So if you have some sort of concern about, you know, the adults and maybe some of the decisions they made in their life, and you can get all judgy on them if you want, but we're talking about the health and well-being of infants. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, as we talk about diaper need in our community. So Susan Van Ness, the chief of programs for the National Diaper Bank Network, has this become a national thing?
I think so, yes. We are still doing a lot to raise awareness. I'm very excited that this week, which is National Diaper Need Awareness Week, the United States Senate has passed a resolution to recognize the work of diaper banks for the first time ever. And the House is going to vote on a similar resolution next week. So we are definitely growing in momentum. It's like been a silent crisis for a long time, but so many people are responding and coming out to help. It's really actually a movement with a lot of momentum, and people all over the country want to chip in and help families.
Jorge Medina, CEO of the Texas Diaper Bank, you become a point of contact for many people who are suffering from severe poverty. When they come to you and say, I need diapers, do you also try and help them connect them with other services?
Absolutely. As I mentioned previously, we work with a network of over 67 agencies locally and through South Texas. And so if they have other needs, such as they're a family that is experiencing homelessness, or they're lacking food, or they need their energy bill paid, we will definitely work with them to connect them to other resources. But one of the things that we also do is we provide families also with parenting education and child health education. We work with partners to assure that parents have the knowledge and the skills to raise healthy babies. And as previously mentioned, parents and children are affected by anxiety and stress. So we created classes to assure that parents learn how to calmly diaper their babies, how to calmly potty train their babies, which I think is really, really important to be able to not just give them the basic need of diapers, but to also provide them with the skills and education that they need.
Let's go back to the phones, 210-614-8980 with Dorothy. Dorothy, thanks for calling in, and you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, David. I just wanted to point out and remind and request and suggest that the responsibility for obtaining diapers for children belong to both parents and is a part of both parents' life, and you've been referring to moms and mothers as needing diapers for their babies. I'd just like to suggest that you use the term parents or moms and dads or dads and moms.
All right, Dorothy, thank you for that reminder. And Jorge Medina, I'm sure you can echo that as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's very interesting that we have a lot of dads who come and seek our services. One story that I remember, it was a military dad who was a single dad, had twin boys, and he was supposed to get recommissioned to another area. And then at the last minute, he had to stay, and he didn't have any diapers. And so he came to us and asked us if we could help him. So we are definitely serving dads. And another interesting fact is that there is another population that we forget about, grandparents. Grandparents that are raising their children's babies. Last week, we had a grandmother who came in and said, I have sole custody of my daughter's child, and I'm raising her, and I have limited economic resources. And one of the things that she was doing to be able to meet this diaper need was that she was trying to save money by stretching her cost for prescription medication that she needed to take. So she was cutting her pills in half in order to have more dollars to spend on diapers.
And there are, so if we help people with the diapers, then they won't have to make compromises. And then if something happens to her, who's going to take care of the baby?
Absolutely.
Back to the phones with Cole, 210-614-8980. Cole, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. You know, for a long time, I've known about and even supported the food bank, but I feel horribly guilty that my brain has never gone in the direction of diaper needs. And I'll just cut to the quick. I'm anxious to get to the address and or phone number at which I can try to add support to this cause. So that's really the main thing that I wanted to say.
All right, Cole, thank you for calling in, and don't be too hard on yourself, because a lot of people have never actually heard of the diaper bank and what it does, but we're trying to change that right now. So Jorge Medina, how do they help you?
The easiest way is to go to our website, texasdiaperbank.org, and go to our donation button and make a donation online. That is the easiest way.
Susan Van Ness with the National Diaper Bank Network. Why are diapers not something that you can use SNAP benefits or WIC benefits for?
That's a great question, and one that we get a lot. There's some good basic needs programs out there, and diapers are really unique. The programs are addressing things like housing costs, health care, food and nutrition in the case, like you mentioned, SNAP and WIC. We don't want to take money away from those programs for diapers. Diapers are one of many basic needs, and families are already choosing between food and diapers, or paying for the heat or diapers. So diapers should not be a part of a food-based program.
Jessica Hasboon with the Women's Health Obstetric and Neonatal Nurses Association of, when parents try to stretch out diapers and putting, like, you know, napkins or what have you, in how does that have a health impact?
Well, as you can imagine, when you use something that isn't a diaper, that isn't absorbable, and you just leave it on them for a longer period of time, I have even heard stories of parents using trash bags as diapers until they can get a new batch. But when you do that, it can cause moisture on the skin, and as that rubs against the baby's bottom, or they have a bowel movement, or they urinate, that can cause skin breakdown. And with skin breakdown, it can be a simple little rash that can heal with diaper ointment, or it can get a little bit more severe, in which layers of the skin are actually broken down and can cause a severe infection. And so you don't ever plan, it's never on purpose to give a baby a diaper rash or really bad infection on their bottom. But in doing those things and trying to make it last and trying to use paper towels or napkins or trash bags, that can really create this big problem for the baby and for the family. And if you're already living in poverty, if you're already trying to make your dollars stretch, along with all of those bills for the hospital and the doctor's office, or even trying to take public transportation to get to a doctor or to get to a diaper bank, that can cause a lot of more stress as well. So it's just this continuous cycle that these parents are having a hard time, and for family members are having a hard time getting out of, just to be able to care for that baby or for that child who's still in diapers.
So having an adequate supply of diapers, Jessica, would mean that there would be less trips to the doctor. And,
correct.
And so less missed work for the parent.
Absolutely, yes.
And so that seems like, you know, are we we have to think about that as we try to figure out how do we help our most vulnerable in our community. But Jorge Medina, we mentioned this earlier about female
hygiene supplies. And do y'all provide those, or how do y'all connect with that?
Absolutely. Through the National Diaper Bank, we had an opportunity to participate in addressing this issue. Once again, it was another basic need that was, one of those silent crises that people just don't know about, how it impacts women and young women who don't have the economic resources to be able to provide for themselves this very basic need. You can talk about, we researched this issue and found how it impacts young women who are going to school and then they don't have this basic need, how they, miss school. And that could all be avoided if they had access to this very important basic need.
And are these products, period products, are they available in schools? And we know that they cost at the store. They charge some sales tax. It's treated like a luxury item. Where are we going with this?
Well, from what we understand, they're not necessarily always available at school. Sometimes they have some available through the nurses, but not all the time. So that's one of the things that we're doing is that we are working with the middle schools. We're working with the high schools, trying to get products into the schools to assure that girls that have this need, that their need is being met.
And also think about how they can access that and whether going to the nurse and requesting the product is going to be a traumatic experience or if it's going to be, smooth. How will that handle? Are there policies in place? Or where are we going? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about the local diaper bank and the services that they provide. We'd love to hear your stories. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about diaper needs. Also, we're talking about these period product needs. We had an email from Andrea. This is also an issue for younger people of high school and college age that cannot afford sanitary products. Going without makes focusing on school very, very hard. School and work very hard. Susan Van Ness with the National Diaper Bank Network. Is this also something that demands national attention, how we have to think about period poverty?
Absolutely. And I appreciate adding this into the conversation. And just like diapers, it's a basic need that a significant percentage of the population needs just to show up and participate in everyday life. And we owe it to them. Like nobody would imagine that a properly functioning bathroom would not have toilet paper and not have soap. So we have to start to think a little bit differently about how we're helping people access those basic needs. And like Jorge mentioned, we know that for young people and for the person that I think wrote in, schools would be a great place. We know now from research that, being hungry affects how well children can learn in school, but that took some time and research and data collection, and that's what the diaper banks and the period supply programs are doing. We need to look at where other populations that might need access to period products, where can we engage with them? There's family resource centers where moms and siblings of kids that are in school might be able to get access to those products. So we'll be looking to partner with organizations like the public library, with local shelters, community resource centers as well.
Jessica Hasboon, as a nurse, and have you seen people who have not had access to period products, these female hygiene products? What goes wrong if they don't have access?
And as labor and delivery nurse, we actually don't. We do get moms who come in and they're not even aware that they will have, that they'll need feminine products for after delivery. And in that case, as nurses, we always just send them home with whatever we have. We try to get them as many pads, as many feminine hygiene products as possible to last them days or weeks or a month worth of everything. But in that case, they'll start to use as well, you know, toilet paper, like Susan was saying, and that can cause a lot of, you know, skin breakdown and discomfort for moms, or, you know, and for any girl as well. And not in a nurse's perspective, but growing up as a woman in a low income household, I remember constantly thinking about that and trying to make it last. And it was embarrassing. And it wasn't something that we were able to talk about, or I didn't feel comfortable asking for help. And even just today in America, girls growing up, speaking about developmental issues or, you know, their bodies changing, that's always something hard to talk about as well. So just, you know, openly asking for help or openly saying that they need, you know, pads at the nurse or the nurse's office or for their teacher or their friends, that can be very, very embarrassing as well. So you and cause a lot of psychological issues and stress and anxiety issues for these girls who are just trying to get through one puberty, but for the rest of their lives and, you know, throughout high school and early adulthood, it's a struggle for sure.
Right. And we're talking about it right now because we want to try to break down some of the stigma with talking about it, because we need to, and so that we can identify and address the need. And Jorge Medina with the Texas Diaper Bank, you know, have you seen how not being comfortable having these conversations can just make things worse?
Oh, absolutely. How can you talk about an issue when people don't even want to talk about the issue? And so I think that is such an important step, is to create awareness about the need and be able to have a dialogue, an open dialogue with all people. You know, men need to be able to feel comfortable speaking about this issue too.
And let's go back to the phones with Rose. And Rose, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Hey, Rose.
I'm out of the kid business these days, but when I was younger, we used cloth diapers due to the fact that we couldn't afford much in the way of disposable diapers. I did use them occasionally to go on trips or to town, but is that a resource that anybody's educating or making available as an option?
All right, Rose, thank you for that. And also, John on Twitter, it's Caitlin. Does the diaper bank accept cloth diapers? Would that be helpful?
We will take the cloth diapers, and we have tried cloth diapers in the past. And the issue that we are facing in our community is that, first of all, parents that are low income and have children in childcare services or subsidized childcare services, most of these childcare services do not accept cloth diapers. They require the disposable diapers. And also, if you take into consideration families that are in housing, the housing, you know, does not allow for parents to wash the cloth diapers in their public facilities either, due to
hygiene, you know,
hygiene
it's just
issues.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not sanitary.
So those are some of the reasons that really has not allowed us to really provide cloth diapers as an option. But if parents want to try cloth diapers, we would definitely make them available.
And John on Twitter asked, why are diapers, incontinence supplies, and female sanitary products taxed as luxury items? And I will go on the record and say my guess at the answer is that it's because we don't have enough women elected to office. But I will go to Susan Van Ness to get your answer.
I like your answer, David, but I'll add a little bit to it that right now we have 18 states that are considering proposals to eliminate or reduce taxes on diapers. There are also states that are looking at reducing or eliminating taxes on pads. It requires discussion in these state decisions of how are they going to balance, like, what's going to pay for what is currently in the budget, you know. But I think that there's good momentum to remove taxes. I don't think anybody really thinks that diapers or period supplies are luxury items. I don't know how they got there in the first place, to be honest with you.
So the answer is the reason why there's tax is because we haven't fixed that yet.
Correct. Yeah,
right.
That's a good answer.
Let me go to Debbie on the phones. And Debbie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to share a quick story. In 2000, my son was born, and I was by no means poor. I was actually a sales rep. They sold medical supplies for hospital supply company. My husband, he was working full-time, two full-time workers with a new baby, one baby. And my son, he had medical issues, and then I had complications from the birth, so I ended up having to be at home. So all of a sudden my income shrunk. I didn't pre-think to save any diapers because I didn't need to. My income was going to be fine. So now here I was in this situation, and I went through everything that this man is talking about. I mean, I'd go to WIC. I actually qualified for WIC. I couldn't qualify for anything else, but they don't give you diapers. And diapers are, back then, I mean, they were like $30 a box. And one little body can go through, you know, if they have diarrhea or they have a spat, they can go through a whole box in a week. And you're just like going through diapers. I mean, we let go of the heat in the house because we needed diapers. I was still breastfeeding and I had to decide on my food. I mean, it was cheaper to go to McDonald's and get a dollar burger than it was to get healthy vegetables and fruit that I needed to eat to feed my baby, which was sad, you know. But at the time, you know, during certain weeks, we had to make decisions like this all the time. There wasn't a diaper bank back then. I always thought that there should be. And I called around to see if there was any place I could get diapers, and nobody had them. It was a real struggle. And, you know, there's people that have grown up in poverty, and their parents and their friends in the neighborhood teach them how to get through these struggles. But when you haven't experienced it and then you're thrown into the situation, I'll tell you what, it you don't know where to go. There's no place to go. So knowing that the diaper bank is there is amazing. And it's going to help a lot of people, not just the poor, but even the people that aren't poor, maybe middle, you know, lower middle, yeah, middle, somebody who doesn't have parents. Maybe they're an import here to Texas.
And we're all getting by paycheck to paycheck. And you never know when you could be the one. You donate today and you could be the person in line asking for help tomorrow. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need to be here for each other. I want to go to Jessica Hasboon for your last comment on where do you think this is going? How do we make this a national top of mind issue?
I think that it's definitely important for us to talk about all of these struggles and what is going on. I also think it's important for us to, who are able to maybe host diaper drives. You know, the National Diaper Bank Network is doing an awesome job of working with people whoever wants to help out, whoever needs information, you can always call them. They are actually partnered with us as A1 as well as Huggies, and just raising awareness, letting people know that this is an issue and showing them how they can help, whether it be signing petitions to get your bills passed or really just hosting a diaper drive and letting them, you know, take these flyers of how diaper need affects babies, how it affects their skin breakdown, and what they can do to help. Because a lot of the time we know what issues are, but we don't know what the next step in for us to help other people. So definitely taking that initiative. The National Diaper Bank Network does have donation pages on their national page for anyone who's definitely not in Texas or who wants to donate in their own communities. There are different diaper banks as well. But it definitely is an issue. It definitely is an everybody problem because it is our community. It's 1 in 3 families in every community throughout the country.
Jessica Hasboon is a consultant, a nurse consultant with the Association of Women's Health Obstetric and Neonatal Nurses. Also with us, Susan Van Ness, Chief of Programs for the National Diaper Bank Network, and Jorge Medina, the CEO of the Texas Diaper Bank. Thanks to all of you this afternoon. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.